Hello, everyone. We are on. So we are going to be talking about white privilege. And of course, white privilege is a very sensitive topic. It's specifically something that most people don't even want to address. And that is to people of privilege. Obviously, no one wants to give up their privilege or even validate the fact that they do have privilege. So it's kind of a sensitive but also harsh topic to discuss. But that's why we're here. What is the point of talking about things that everyone already discusses and talks about? That's boring. So before I start, I want to read a quote by Martin Luther King Jr., that I thought really reflected the situation that we are going to be discussing. So this is the quote. "It is a historical fact that privileged groups seldom give up their privileges voluntarily. Individuals may see the moral light and voluntarily give up their unjust posture, but as Reynold Niebuhr has reminded us, groups tend to be more immoral than individuals. So when we're discussing white privilege, we don't mean single people. We don't mean to single out specific individuals, but as to, on a larger scale, talk to the majority. And interestingly enough, with white privilege, there's a very polarized reaction. So it's either there is white privilege and it exists and you're benefiting from it, or it is the complete opposite, where it is as like, there is no white privilege. Am I supposed to be guilty for something that I was born into that I had no choice in? And it's kind of seeing the fine line in between. It is not necessarily to blame anyone, but it is to understand why things are the way that they are, and that there is a responsibility because of your white privilege. So let us start as how we always do, by defining it. So, white privilege has been defined as unearned advantages of being white in a racially stratified society. So our societies are racially stratified, and what that means is that there is a social hierarchy in those societies. So if you are white versus Asian, there's a different hierarchy. If you're African American, if you are Middle Eastern, and so forth. And is an expression of institutional power that is largely unacknowledged by most white individuals. And when we say institutional, that means that it is systemic and it is the system that is built, that the society is built upon. And we're going to go into more detail when we talk about the historical, why historically white privilege has come to be what it is today. So let's dissect white privilege a little more. White privilege distributes power, privilege, and benefits unequally among groups in societies and countries in the world that we live in today. So when we talk about white privilege, it is kind of a misunderstanding that white privilege only affects Western societies. But in fact, due to the history that we have, white privilege affects everyone around the entire world, and it benefits one and it oppresses the other. So white privilege is also systemic. And I kind of want to, I want to define the terminology one by one because, oh my goodness, I think I have been muted this entire time. I am not very sure. If I have been muted this entire time, that is very funny, but also not great. So I'm just going to do a very quick overview because I think I have been muted this entire time. So we started off by, and I'm not sure which part was recorded and which part was not recorded. But let us revise really quickly, summarize. I love summaries. Summaries are great. Summaries help validate important ideas, and then you negate the rest that is not very important. So we started off by talking about how talking or discussing white privilege is a very sensitive topic, and that not many people want to discuss it, and specifically people who hold the privilege don't want to discuss it. And that is because, obviously, if you have a form of privilege, you don't want to give it up and you don't want to validate the fact that you have it. So we're going to start off by a quote by Martin Luther King Jr. that I felt very, it kind of summarized what we're going to talk about. So, it is a historical fact that privileged groups seldom give up their privileges voluntarily. Individuals may see the moral light and voluntarily give up their unjust posture, but as Reynold Niebuhr has reminded us, groups tend to be more immoral than individuals. So we are not specifically pointing fingers at people and saying, oh, you have a privilege and you have a privilege. It's more of understanding why our societies are the way that they are and doing something about that. So with specifically to white privilege, something that I have tended to see is that the reactions are very very polarized in either direction. So it's either you have white privilege and you're benefiting from that and you're oppressing, or it's the complete opposite where it is white privilege does not exist. And if it does, should I feel guilty for something that I had no choice in? What should I do about it? So it's kind of seeing the middle ground between the two perspectives and understanding that the fact that you have white privilege does not make you guilty in any way. It just indicates that you have a responsibility. So let us start by defining it once again. So white privilege has been defined as unearned advantages of being white in a racially stratified society. So what a racially stratified society is, it's something that we have across the globe, and it just means that there is a racial hierarchy depending on your race. And by race, it's commonly physical phenotypes that you can see. And it is an expression of institutional power that is largely unacknowledged by most white individuals. So again, by institutional, it means that it is a systemic systemic historical thing that the society has been built upon. So it is things that are ingrained in society. And we'll go into more depth as to what that actually means. So let's dissect white privilege. So white privilege distributes power, privileges, and benefits unequally among groups in societies and countries in the globe that we live today. So it's also a misconception that white privilege only is something that is common or affects people in Western societies, but due to the historical relevance of white privilege, due to the history of why white privilege is the way it is today, it affects the entire world in a way that one side privileges and benefits, and one side is oppressed by it. So white privilege is systemic in that it is rooted in the history of European colonial domination and settlement of the Americas, Asia, and Africa. It is also systemic in that it is rooted in years of slavery. And in the 19th century, practices of race science, so this is not very far off, not very far long ago, race science justified this domination. So, for example, they believed that the skull of an indigenous person differed from the skull of a white man, and that the white man was the final product of evolution, and that the indigenous man would be eventually evolve into the white man. There was also other beliefs about skin color, and then that having a white complexion was cleaner. And there was even advertisements for soaps that would say, oh, use the soap, and it would show the before and after. And the before would be, for example, an African-American man, and the after would be a white European male. So there is very sick, kind of disgusting roots as to where it comes from. And the world that we live today is obviously a result of all of this. So political, social, and cultural beliefs all stem from this history, and it always ends up having negative impacts on the lives of people of color. So when we say systemic racism, it means that structures or processes carried out by institutional groups, such as governments, businesses, or schools, and they have negative impacts on the lives of people of color. So when we're discussing privilege again, it's often hard to see your own privilege, and it's because you have access to power and resources that you don't realize that you have. And the fact that you cannot see your privilege is you directly enjoying the benefits of it, because people of color or people who do not have the same privilege are very aware of the opposite end of you having your privilege as a white person, because they have to have the repercussions of everything that you, that they don't get, that you get. So let us take a small break and learn how to figure out the system. So I'm going to leave you with a song by Tupac, and it is called Me Against the World. So we will be back very soon. Something for my godson Elijah and little girl named Corinne. So we are back. So just to give a little bit of an overview to jump into our next segment, when we talk about the history of white privilege, it stems from years of colonialism and slavery, and that has created the unequal distribution of power in the world that we have today, and the oppression of people of color. And although it is a dark history, it is the history that we have today. And we have to accept it in order to do anything about it. Negating the fact that it happens only continues to further the oppression and the oppression of some groups and the privilege of others. So let's just talk about some historically derived benefits that white people participate in or have. And so the first one, all the land in the US and Canada was taken from Indigenous people. So we are literally living in the product of colonial settlement, and it's a dark history and it's ugly, but that's what we live in. So we didn't get the land that we have today by being the country of the free or the brave. We've got it from raping, pillaging, and exterminating an entire group of Indigenous people. And in Canada specifically, not very far long ago, were we still sterilizing Indigenous women? We still had those residential schools set up, which were a form of ethnic genocide. The entire infrastructure of the countries of the country that we live in was built by slave labor. So not understanding that this is the history that we have and ignoring it will just continue to increase the hierarchy of privilege. Let's another point, another historically derived benefit. Incredibly low-paid labor or prison labor is performed by men and women of color today, and that is another form of modern-day slavery. Much of the house cleaning, childcare, cooking, and maintenance of our society has been done by low-wage earning women of color. Today, men and women and children of color still do, this is worldwide, the hardest, lowest-paid, most dangerous work. And of course, white people enjoy and reap the benefits of that. So they enjoy inexpensive food, clothing, and consumer goods because of this unequal balance. And if we just look at the brands that we wear day to day, so H&M and Zara, we all know that it is a product of poor labor in countries like Bangladesh. Like, for example, in Zara, a woman a couple of months ago found a note sewn into her shirt that literally was a cry of help. And what happened to Zara? Nothing, because we don't care. We want that top for $15 at the expense of everybody else. But does that really matter to us? Are we buying from ethical and sustainable places? Or are we going to find the cheapest bargain and only think of our own benefit? And I'm guilty of that too. So when we talk about privilege, it's the North white usually against the South, and that isn't a very, it's not meant to be taken literally in the geographical sense, but it just shows how it's not necessarily West versus East either, but it's just how us in the North Americas take advantage of the rest of the world. Even when we globalize companies, like we take Apple and we outsource, you know, outside of the country because we don't want to pay the same taxes and we don't want to be under the same strict guidelines that that country would force you to have. It's just because we want to reap the benefits, and everyone else has to pay the consequence of that because it is the unequal distribution of the world that we have today. So now let's dissect white privilege in the sense where someone will come up to you and say, okay, if white privilege exists, and this is a very fair argument too, because white privilege is very misunderstood. So someone will come up to you and say, well, I'm white and I lived a very harsh life and everything that I have today is because I've worked for it. So please explain white privilege if that's the case. And my answer to that would be, or the answer to that question in general would be, white privilege does not negate the fact that they are both, that there is a economic, that it's your economic status can differ, and your social status can differ. So the greatest form of white privilege is a straight, cisgendered white male. They are the top percent. They're in the top percent bracket. They own half of the world's resources and they dominate most of the political and private spheres. So does that mean that a white transgendered woman have the same privilege as this white male? No, of course not. But at the end of the day, it does not negate the fact that you have a greater social hierarchy due to your skin complexion or your skin color. So just a very small example, two people, a African-American male or a white woman, both have very bad credit and they both live in very harsh economic environments. So they go to the bank and they apply for a loan and they try to get the loan. In most scenarios and in most cases, the white woman will leave with that loan, but the African American male would not be given the same chance. And that is to say that there is a stereotype attached to your skin complexion, and you reap benefits that somebody else does not. So we're going to talk about simple examples of this. So for example, it's able to walk into a store and go and shop for something that we all use on a daily basis, a shampoo and conditioner, hair care products, and not find one that is catered to your hair type. So for example, African American women have a different hair texture than white women do, and they'll have to go to that very small ethnic section in the corner of the shop and go through maybe two or three products, whereas a white woman will find her product very easily and have many, 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 many options. It's going into a makeup store or into the makeup section and not finding foundation or concealer for your own skin color. So for example, I think it was Dolce & Gabbana or Dior who released the skin foundation line, and there was like 5,000 shades of white and maybe 4 shades of darker complexion meant for women of color. And they had the audacity to release the statement, "We don't see color." There is so many issues with the statement, "I don't see color." But just going back really quickly to the basic necessities that white women don't have to think about are not provided for other women of color. It's being able to turn on the television and see people of your race widely represented, and not only that, seeing them represented and in a positive light. So when it comes to people of color or women of color, their stereotypes on TV are more times than not very negative. So as a Middle Eastern person, it'll always be a terrorist. It'll always be an oppressed woman. It'll always be something, or that they're uneducated. And whereas for a white person, he can or she can go on TV and they can see them being represented in a very positive light. It goes very simple as well as to Barbie dolls. Seeing a Barbie doll that isn't blonde hair, blue-eyed, white, and something that looks like you, you know, something that represents you, and you don't feel so misplaced in a society. I remember growing up just not understanding who I was or where I belonged to, because the figures on TV, the figures in music or in pop culture never represented me. And I always tried to achieve something or strive for something that I wasn't in order to fit in. And that just sucked, to be honest, because growing up, I wish I had celebrated my culture more and appreciated myself more. It's also being able to move through life without being racially profiled or unfairly stereotyped. So it's just airport security, which is very commonly brought up. It's being able just to go through airport security like a normal human being and not being randomly searched. I remember I was on in the airport a couple of weeks ago, and my name is very ethnic, Shada Al-Hajj. I don't think that is a very common name. And I got stopped and searched, and my friend with me who wore hijab also got stopped and searched. And I looked around, and out of the hundreds of people passing, we were the only ones that were very randomly checked. And it pissed me off. Let me tell you, I was so mad. I was ready to fight. I was like, who did this and where can I just get this aggression out? Because it's unfair. And the next time I get stopped in a airport, God help that poor security person who obviously has to appeal to a higher power in order to do the thing that they do. But I'm not letting this slide anymore. I mean, like, why am I being stopped? Why isn't that lady over there with the very blonde hair and very fair complexion being stopped as well? I'd like to see her, or not her specifically, but I'd like to see more white people stopped, please. Anyways, it's also having a first aid kit with flesh-colored band-aids that match your skin tone. Flesh color is always skin tone of white people. Flesh color, that is the norm, even in bras and panties that are nude. Nude is always white. It's never catered. And if it is, it is very small, run business that is by like a woman of color who's trying to, you know, get into the normal fashion industry. So it's never the norm to have different nudes. Having a grocery store that has a variety of food options, but then the cultural or ethnic section is just in the little corner, which again, kind of like the hair care situation. So it reflects something called the power of normal. And it's very important to understand that if public spaces and goods cater to one race and segregate the needs of other races into special sections, that tells you something is up. Something's beneath the surface. There is something systemic in that. As a white person, you're able to move throughout the world and have your needs very easily met. Whereas a person of color go through the world understanding that they are going to be marginalized, and they accept that very, very commonly. So for me, for example, just something very basic, understanding that I might be a little late going through the airport because I'm going to be stopped. And obviously I'm not stopped as much as someone who wears hijab or wears a turban or is more visible, because a lot of times I can pass for someone who is white unless you're reading my name. So I obviously don't face the same pressures that other people do. But it's just knowing that you're going to be facing a harder time in life. You're not going to be met by the same compassion that other people are. And when we recognize that the norm is white, we understand that there is a gap, and that gap needs to be filled. So we're going to take a small break and we're going to listen to Crystal Valentine, who is a spoken word. She says she does a spoken word and it's called Black Privilege. And I thought it was very beautiful and will illustrate a lot of the things that we're going to be discussing. So we will be back.
On evaluating Black privilege. Black privilege is the hung elephant swinging in the room, is the memory of a slave ship praying for the Alzheimer's to kick in. Black privilege is me having already memorized my nephew's eulogy, my brother's eulogy, my father's eulogy, my unconceived child's eulogy. Black privilege is me thinking my sister's name safe from that list. Black privilege is me pretending like I know Trayvon Martin on a first name basis. Is me using a dead boy's name to win a poetry slam. Is me carrying a mouthful of other people's skeletons to use at my own convenience. Black privilege is the concrete that holds my breath better than my lungs do. Black privilege is always having to be the strong one. Is having a crowbar for a spine. Is fighting even when you have no more blood to give. Even when your bones carried you. Even when your mother prayed for you. Even after they prepared your body for the funeral. Black privilege is being so unique that not even God will look like you. Black privilege is still being the first person in line to meet him. Black privilege is having to have the same sense of humor as Jesus. Remember how he smiled on the cross? The same way Malcolm X laughed at his bullet, and there I go again, asserting my black privilege, using a dead man's name without his permission. Black privilege is a myth, is a joke, is a punchline, is the time a teacher asked a little boy what he wanted to be when he grew up, and he said alive, is the way she laughed when she said there's no college for that, and it's tiring, you know, for everything about my skin to be a metaphor. For everything black to be pun intended, to be death intended. Black privilege is the applause at the end of this poem. It's me giving you a dead boy's body and you giving me a 10. It's me being okay with that. And I tried writing a love poem the other day, but my fingers wouldn't move. My skin started to blister like it didn't trust me anymore. Like it thought I was trading in this noose for a pearl necklace. Some days I'm afraid to look into the mirror for fear that a bullet George Zimmerman its way into my chest while I was asleep. The breath in my mouth is lucky enough to scare a courtroom. I'll be lucky if I'm alive to make it to the stand. For some people, their trials live longer than they do. Black privilege is knowing that if I die, at least Al Sharpton will come to my funeral. At least Al Sharpton will mason jar my mother's tears, remind us that the only thing we are worthy of is our death. We are judged by the number of people it takes to carry our caskets. Black privilege is me thinking that's enough. It's me thinking this poem is enough. Black privilege is this. Is this breath in my mouth right now? It's me standing right here with a crowd full of witnesses to my heartbeat.
So we are back. That was Black Privilege by Crystal Valentine. And it is a spoken word that is performed at Button Poetry. So going back into recognizing the norm, where being white is seen as the norm, and we just spoke about how if you were to go into a grocery store or a supermarket, hair products for African-American women, for example, are in an ethnic section, or even food for other cultures are in an ethnic section. And understanding that if a public space and goods are catered to one race, and then they segregate the needs of another race into a section, it indicates something. And it indicates that there is a gap between the two, and realizing that there is a gap means that we need to fill the gap. So there is a new phenomena. It's not new, but the name is new, like adding a label to it is new, and it's called being called on by the cops, being called on by the cops for doing normal things and being black. So there are so many examples of this that have just blown up. So for example, and this is something that has been happening a lot, but it's just been given more attention to in social media. So there was a group of African-American men just sitting in Starbucks, something that we all do for no particular reason. I just sit in Starbucks just for the sake of sitting in Starbucks. I want to sit there. It's a public space. So they were sitting in Starbucks and they got the police called on them and they were arrested and vilified for sitting in Starbucks. There's another story of the most adorable little girl who happened to be after African American, and she was selling water bottles to go to Disneyland. I mean, the story cannot get more adorable than that. How could you pass by that girl and not buy 25 water bottles? I don't know. But anyways, she was a white woman, called the cops on her for not having a business license. Complete and utter bull, but it happens so often. There was an African American girl sleeping in her residence or her dorm. In the common room, she fell asleep while studying, and she had the cops called on her. Basic things that, as a white person, you don't even think about. I mean, the cops came, she was asked to show ID, something that you would have never, ever gone through if you were not a person of color. There was another group of African Americans, I think it was, leaving an Airbnb, and they had the cops called on them for leaving an Airbnb. It's just ridiculous, but it goes to show you that there is a privilege attached to your skin color. These basic things that you would do day to day and not even think about, other people have to face and go to prison for, or get the cops calling them for. And then if it were to escalate the situation because obviously one person is feeling very attacked, then it would always be that it's your fault, to the person of color. And it would just validate the stereotype that's already there, that people of color are violent and irrational and what have you. So let's go to more in-depth examples of white privilege as the things that you as a white person would not think about. But let's just talk about how the education is very Eurocentric in the way that history is portrayed. It's portrayed through the European male's perspective, and it negates that people of color have ever had anything to do historically that has been great, and people of color are always victimized, and this is very common in the narrative of slavery. So when we talk about history, the wars that we are taught, and it was brought up in one of my classes, and we were asked, what wars do you know the most about? And for me specifically, it was the Syrian conflict, the Syrian Civil War, but for everyone else in the class that was primarily white, it was World War I and World War II. So you such a poor, like a huge portion of history is completely forgotten in this Eurocentric manner of education. When we discuss slavery, for example, or colonialism, people of color are always victimized and made to be just victims instead of heroes of their own narrative. Their narrative is forgotten, and the hierarchy between white and non-white is always there. So imagine if you're coming from a different community, from a very poor socioeconomic community. So 80% of African Americans go to very low income school with very low resources, and you make it to school, and that is all that you're learning. The people in the books don't look like you. The figures, the names in the books don't represent your people. All you are shown to be is victims, and you're vilified. What hope does that give you? When in Canada, 90% of educators are white females, kids don't see teachers who look like them. And that speaks to a greater thing that does not, again, when we're talking about the narrative of white privilege, it does not mean to say that these white female educators have anything wrong with them or that we should blame them, but it just speaks into that there is a bigger problem that we have to address. There is a gap that needs to be filled. And even when we're discussing things, specifically for me, I feel when we're talking about things that have to concern the Middle East, in order for the other white people in my class to understand, I need to consistently unpack my trauma. And I have to teach them how painful that history was specifically to me. And it's something that was very common with people of color as well. They constantly felt like they had to unpack their trauma for white people to understand. And again, does not blame white people. It just is to understand what people of color have to go through. So when we talk about poverty as well, the ability, like even just the ability to accumulate wealth is a privilege. And it's a privilege by systemic racism that is found in both the public and private sectors. So in 2014, the Pew Research Center released a report that revealed that the median net worth of a white household was, this is a statistic for the U.S., by the way, was around $140,000, while for Black and Hispanic households, it was between $11,000 and $13,000. Think about that gap. From $140,000 to approximately in between $12,000 amongst them both. The gap is huge. And another thing is that the median white person that went to college earned 7.2 times more than the median Black person and 3.9 times more than the median Latino person. And even if they worked overtime, they spent less and saved more, that wouldn't even work to close at least like a quarter of the gap. So the gap instead relies on inheritance. Wealth is passed on from one generation to the next. And what that means is that wealth comes in the form of inherited homes. White families are able to accumulate more wealth because of their earning power, their home value. They're able to support their children into early adulthood, and they're able to help with expenses of college, cars, and first home. So that cycle continues, and it is not the same for a non-white person. And also, systemic racism expresses itself into violent forms of violence. And we're just gonna have to wrap up the show today. But systemic racism expresses itself in form of violence. So that is shown in police violence, card violence, in forms of poverty, in death, in access to proper healthcare, in access to education, which leads to all the other issues. So is there a gap? There sure as, I cannot swear, but there sure as heck is a gap. And understanding that gap exists does not take away from anyone. It does not blame anyone. It's just understanding your circumstances and knowing that we have to do something. Negating that it isn't there, saying that there isn't a privilege, just does nothing but continue to oppress people of color. So let's talk about white guilt right now. Is white guilt a thing? It's only a thing if you choose to victimize yourself, because white guilt is not a thing. You cannot say that you feel white guilt when you are the privileged member of society. Should you feel guilty? No one's asking you to feel guilty. It's so crazy when I hear people saying, am I supposed to feel bad? Should I apologize to every person of color? Has anyone asked you to? Has anyone told you to feel guilty? Or have people just asked you to recognize that you have privilege and thus help people of color have the same opportunities that you've been given to by birth? Even when we're talking about issues like movements, for example, like feminism, which has, due to privilege, spun into white feminism and has only been catered to, in a lot of cases, catered to white middle-class women. Or when we talk about the Black Lives Matter movement, and then having the Blue Lives Matter or All Lives Matter movement come as an opposition to it. The fact that you can take a movement that has meant to address the systemic racism and violence against Black people and turn it about you speaks so much to the amount of privilege that you have. No one else could be able to do something like that. So if that isn't any indication of how much privilege you have, then I don't know what will. The fact that you're able to say the N-word in a rap video does not mean that you should say it. The fact that you want to say it, say the N-word without having to attach the dark history behind it shows your privilege. The fact that when you go to Coachella, you can put on those indigenous headdresses, but an indigenous person cannot walk into court with it and has to take it off, shows your privilege. When we talk about cultural appropriation, it's you being able to put those on and off as costumes, whereas somebody else, that is their livelihood. That is attached to years of trauma, years of hardship, and you are able to put it on and off and live with it one day and live without it the other day. If a white person is able to dress in a thuggish manner, the next morning, if he puts on a corporate suit, he's fine. But the same thing does not happen to a person of color. So now that we have dissected that very quickly, I apologize, but the question becomes, what can you do? Number one, recognize your privilege. That is the most important thing. Understand that you have privilege. I have privilege. Does not take away anything from me. It's just understanding that I have opportunities that other people don't. Don't take it personally. Don't use it as a form of discomfort and use it as an excuse to disengage in the conversation. No, you have privilege. Doesn't matter. I have privilege. Now, what is the next thing to do? Step two, what can I do to help? What can I do to make things better? It's also very important is to learn when to listen and when to speak up. When a person of color is speaking on their own behalf, that is time for you to listen. Don't speak on behalf of white of people of color, and instead speak up when they ask you to, or as an ally. Something else to do is to educate yourself. Learn as to why you have that white privilege. Delve into that history. It's uncomfortable, but it's there, and it's something that still continues to go on. So in the case of colonialism, for example, people who have been colonized, there are still some areas that are still being colonized, and in the areas that are post-colonial worlds, there are so many there are so many negative effects, and there is process of decolonization that have to happen, and those are very uncomfortable processes, and it creates a lot of discomfort in those regions. Something else that you can do is educate fellow white people, because unfortunately people don't like to take things from people of color. Things are seen as more important or more factual when it comes from specifically, say, a white cisgendered male. Risk your unearned benefits to benefit others. When you see someone being, for example, carded by the police, someone being attacked by the police, speak up. When you see a person of color in a situation that they are being targeted with, use your privilege to help them. Another one is create spaces and platforms for people of color to speak for themselves. So instead of talking on behalf of them for the movement, give them the platform to do the same for themselves. And that is it for today's show. It was a very rushed and quick show, but I hope that you guys understood what the points that we were trying to get across. And that I love how I speak about myself in the plural. Usually Adele is here with me, but she's not here today. So I like to speak in the plural when she's here with me. But again, just to have a small recap and just to summarize, you understanding that you have white privilege is not an attack. It isn't a way to blame you or victimize you. It is just understanding that the history and the societal structure that we have today is built upon racism and colonialism, and that is why you have the privilege that you have today. And that privilege comes with responsibility, and that is all. I have privilege, and it's also not to negate the fact that other people who are not white don't have other privilege. I have privilege. Different people have privilege that are not white. But specifically white privilege was what we were going to discuss today. So, to end this on a positive note, I would just like to say that we are all human beings at the end of the day. Everyone's lives matter, but I will never say that. I will never say everyone's lives matter. I hate saying that. I hate that statement because it's been attached to a political, different connotation. Black lives matter is what I want to say. And at the end of the day, we need to just support each other. And just the fact that you've been given more privilege than somebody else does not mean that you are less worthy. And no one says that, but it's just a little reminder. So I hope you all have an amazing rest of your day. And we will be back next week. The topic for next week is unknown to both you and I. So we are going to delve into that together and see what we're going to be talking about. But this has been F the Patriarchy. And I will leave you all with... I have to see what I'm going to leave you all with. I will leave you all with, let's choose the woman in me. There we are. I will leave you with the woman in me. And I will see you guys next week on Wednesday at 1:30 p.m. So thank you. Oh, no. Never mind. I will leave you all with blah, 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 reflection. There we are. I will leave you with reflection. Goodbye.